Nice to be here. I don't want the moniker that some have put on me, preacher. Don't qualify, never did, never will. I got some brothers that claim to be preachers, but I don't want that. And some of the places that I go, you couldn't get in if you're a preacher. So I feel good not being that. Call me a speaker, call me whatever works for you. Or just Bob works awful good. And that'll call me. I'm here doing something that I'm not really cut out to do, but for the lack of somebody else, I'm doing it. We're with the West 300 camp, which is the two counties to the west of us. And I'm talking about the Gideon camps. And I'm with the Dunpeppin camp. However, I attend this church, and the pastors asked me to fill in today. And now everybody says a Gideon presentation, but he said a little gospel and a Gideon presentation. So I don't think you'll tell the difference. If you're talking Gideons, you're talking gospel. And some quite often, if you're talking gospel, you might just be talking Gideons. But I'm here because I like to represent that organization. I've been with them something like 28 years, and it's good for me. It's good for me. And it might even be good for you. You listen to what we're going to go through here. I couldn't cover the Gideon ministry if I had a couple days, so I'm not going to try that. But I'm going to cover some areas that we work in, where we exist, some of the regulations. And I'll be jumping around a little bit. We got the scripture already going here about faith in Hebrews. But you start out with that verse and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'll not go all down the chapter, but the sixth verse says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Get it? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says you must have faith. So I'll try and keep in line here and talk about the right thing first. We believe that the Bible is inerrant, infallible. I'm supposed to be reading. Infallible, inspired, the Word of God. Add to that inerrant. The Bible is the Word of God. John 1:1, which you've heard me quote around here a few times, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, the Word was God. Sometimes we get confused early in life about the Word. The Word is God. God is the Word. So we need to know that. Knowing that the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we dwell on that, we harbor on that, because we need to get the Word. Now, if you try hard, you can stir up some faith. The Bible says there's given to every man a measure of faith. Now, I don't know how big that measure is, but maybe it's kind of small, that which is given to you to start with. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we the Gideons distribute scriptures, the Word of God. And we distribute it for a reason, because that's the source of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, you look around a little bit, you're going to agree with me that that's where faith comes from, no place else. You have to feast on the Word of God to have faith and have it be real to you. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just so that you know, I wasn't reading it off the wall somewhere. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We the Gideons are in about 180 countries, and that thing changes coming and going. Some countries go together, and in the breakup of the Soviet Union, we got a lot of extra numbers there for a while. But we're in about 180 countries and about 79 languages that the Bible is published in. Sometimes we get to quarreling about the Revised or the New King James or some of these other Bibles. And believe me, I have my preference. But Those other people are a victim of our circumstance, I guess, but they're getting the Word of God. Now, what's important about this is that they're getting saved, so the truth is coming to them. There's some things that you can't mention that they would understand. So it's changed when they translate that Bible, but we have people getting saved in 180 countries. It's moving. When I wrote up one of my first messages, it was 134 or 5 countries, and we've moved on that much, and we're moving on. The money is moving up. We're doing great things in the name of the Gideons. Acts 1:8 means different things to different people. Not to you here, it means what it means to me, but a lot of the churches we go to, and if we want to quote Acts 1:8, you don't try and explain it, they'll throw you out. But you shall receive power as the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, if you're going to be a witness for the Lord, you kind of need to know a little more about that. But that's right where I leave off. We the Gideons are a peaceful group, and we're from a lot of different churches. Methodists, a bunch of different Lutherans, and a Presbyterian, and you go on and pick one, and we're there. But we believe in the inspired Word of God, and we believe that we'll let this mean what it will to you. We believe in baptizing, face up, face down, sprinkle, pour, some of those things. But I don't think, I'm not preaching now, I don't think, if you don't know the difference, that God's going to hold it against you. But I think it's well worth finding out the difference. And of course, we're always right, but remember to do it like we do. But back to the Gideons and their affiliation one with another, that don't come up. It absolutely won't come up. If somebody asks you a question in a Gideon meeting concerning doctrine, whoop, we're in a Gideon meeting. We talk about Christ and Him crucified, rose again, ascended to the Father. He sits there on the right hand of God, interceding for us. How much more doctrine do you need to get saved? How much more do you need to come to know Him? He's real. He's wonderful. He's laid out a plan, and you and I work on the plan. It works. It works. We see people fighting over things in the Bible, and we're just wrong. They are wrong. You don't fight about God's Word. Pay attention and get what you can get out of it. And when you read the Bible, don't try to read into it. Read out of it. Read out of it. Read what's there for you. If there's something that you don't understand, go on by. Had a gal from Chicago come in. I've had told some of you this story. Had a gal from Chicago come in with a bunch of, she's very black, and a bunch of black men, and she had to stay in jail 100 days because of her affiliation with these guys, and they hadn't really found out that she didn't do anything. She wanted a Quran. Well, I'm not about to get her a Quran, but I'm about to show her what works in its place. And I said, let me show you the Bible. Nah, I don't want that. She said, I got a daughter that reads the Bible. I don't want that. And I said, just let me give you an assignment. You got nothing to do here. You read what I tell you to read, and then give me a report on it, would you? Well, maybe. So I gave her a new Bible, and I said, read the first 3 chapters of John. And when you get to the end of it, read it over again. And anything that you don't understand, underline it or copy it on a piece of paper. And she said, when I went back, she says, I got one verse. I don't know what do it mean. The verse was John 3:16, and she was stuck. And that's where I'd want her to get stuck, isn't it? Get a chance to explain John 3:16. It's the first verse I ever memorized, but I don't think anybody should be stuck right there and don't know what do it means. So I had a King James Bible, and I used the New King James, and we had a Berkeley there. Nothing worked, so I gave her Bob's interpretation, and somehow that got through. And before I left that night, we prayed. Now, when you see a woman in some of these jails, you don't see another one. So you're sitting there with the door open to the aisle and you know, protecting yourself and everybody else. And So she wanted to for sure see me next week. And for those days that she was there, she began to study, and she really began to learn. She began to learn what Christ was all about. I don't want to get away from this now. I gave her a Bible. That's what I'm proving to you, is that the Bible bears, the Bible works. She began to do that, and one night I came there to that cell to see her, and the jailer came along, and he unlocks it and swings the door open, you know, so I can go in and talk. And as we opened that door, she was up on this, we laugh about them and call them a picnic table, but they're made out of concrete, about that high, and cross legs and stuck in the concrete, and they stay right where they put them. And she was up on top of this, and she wasn't over about so high. And she was on top of that table, and there's an air vent up here. And she was talking to a guy in solitary confinement. He was alone in his cell, she was alone in her cell, and he wouldn't see us, the Gideons, but he saw her, and one of the jailers got him a Bible out of their dump room somewhere. And he's learning about Christ from this gal who never knew anything about Christ. It's the power of God. It's the power of the Word. It works. You can doctor it up with all these translations and all that. Do what you want. It's God's Word. The effectiveness of God's Word. We've been in the jail in Menominee since it was new. And we've been seeing, oh, we started out with about 20, and we've been seeing up 30, 28, 30, 32 people in that jail. And we've been having some conversions. We've been having some fellas bow their head and cry, talk about the Lord. We had a colored guy in there that was guilty of three murders, two in Eau Claire County and one in Dunn County, but Dunn County caught him. And he was a guy who did all kinds of bodybuilding and so on, and of all things did not need a Bible. But he'd been involved with several religions. And one night he came every time to hear us, to be with us. And one night he came in there, and there was a bunch of fellas from the down south of another color, and we were visiting with him, and they're smarting off, kept giving us trouble. How? Why not this? Well, you know, like people will, to avoid meeting the actual crux of the matter. And he said, "Hey, fellas," he held up his hand like that, and he said to me, "Can I talk to him?" I said, "Go ahead." He said, "Fellas, this is different. This is different. I have prayed in a lot of religions. I have never prayed in this religion till the last few weeks, but I found out something. When I pray, when I'm with these guys, I cry. And when I cry, I feel good." How's that for testimony? Is that the way you feel? When you cry, you feel good. And that's what we need. That's what we need. Need to be touched right here. Need to have it work right here. Then it's getting to you. And if you can guide them in their search, so that they feel it right here. Got your job done. I could tell you about a bunch of different guys. There was a very, very black man came by when we were passing out Bibles at the college. And we pass out Bibles there now every year. We used to pass them out every second year, get a couple thousand out. Now we go every year, we get out about 1,400. On the streets, and then we got to stay on the sidewalks around the college. And there's the testament that we pass out. And a guy came by me, taller than I, and so gross, and very broken. And so he asked me about, I said, "Would you care for a copy of the New Testament, Compliments of the Gideons?" And he said, "What is this?" I said, "Bible." "Oh." Now he's an African. Very poor English, but he had been taught something in Africa. Respect for God's Word. Didn't read it, but he had respect for it. So he said, "Oh, Bible." I put it in his pocket. That looked good enough to me. He's probably going to read that one. And he goes on his way. Pretty quick, here comes back He said, I gave to a friend. Can I have one more? I said, how about if I give you two? You probably got another friend. So I gave him the two and he went on his way. Never seen him again. But that's not the truth. One day I was working in front of my garage and here come a nice, shiny, black, big car, a sub guy, husband and wife and two little bitty kids. And I had birds there in the yard, some colory pheasants and some peacocks. And she and the kids got out and run down there and looking at the pheasants, and we talked just a little bit. And he blew the horn and they came and got in and he drove down the road. I thought, oh, that guy looks so familiar, as if I'd seen him yesterday. And that yes, yes, yes business tied right on. And he drove down the road less than a block. He stopped, he backed up and drove in. And he said, well, it was somebody I knew real well that he was looking for. And I told him how to get there. He said, who shall I say sent me? I said, I'll tell you who sent you, but I'll tell you where I know you from. Jail, Dunn County. Oh, yes, yes. No, no, it wasn't jail. College, Dunn County. I get my stories mixed up. And, well, that's where more of the stories do come from. But he said, oh, yes, yes, yes. I said, what are you doing now? Assistant pastor in a church in Minneapolis. Assistant pastor in a church in Minneapolis. Now, we get a Gideon magazine, and I can read them kind every month. There's a bunch of good testimonies, but they don't touch here like that one did. It worked. We did our job. Maybe you only got one soul saved. He's assistant pastor, counselor in a large church in Minneapolis. I think you figured out that I'm going to ask for some money. And those are the kind of things that we try to accomplish. Those are the things that we're at. You know, we've got some awful good Gideons. One thing I'll tell you on them, somebody called WCCO one day and he said, how many people work there? And the guy on the phone said, about half of them. And of course, we run across that a little bit, but the other half do a pretty good job. But I want to spell something out for you. The dues of the Gideon run the organization of the Gideons. We don't have to take any money out of anything else. We pay a dues annually, and it takes care of the entire operation down at Nashville. When I came in, we had something just around 40 employees and employees and officers. I think we're right at 50 now. It's still taking care of it. The dues, not the offering. The offering that you give for Bibles will go for Bibles. The delivery of the Bibles is all taken care of by Gideon's. If we ship a load overseas, that will be taken care of out of general funds. But other than that, you do not pay for anything except the Bible. We can get you pictures of people on bicycles, people, any kind of travel, and the more prevalent one is barefooted. And they'll take right off over a mountain with 100 Bibles on their shoulder. That's what the Testament's coming. And they'll distribute them. Some place that never thought of getting a Bible. You could see them distributing Testaments in a school with 30 young people and one book. One book to teach from. And next year they get a different book and all the grades are just moving up together. They don't have anything. You go in there and you give them 30 Testaments. One to each child. I'll tell you, they're excited. We hear about them splitting them. They don't get enough, so they split them and trade off to get the first half and the last half. The Bible works. The Bible is effective. And for that reason, I'm sold on it. These testaments like this, the Brown Testament is the personal worker's testament. You'll only see Gideon's carrying it until they've given it away. This is something we, the Gideons, pay for at about it's $1.35, I'm pretty sure, for this testament. And you've got all the helps. And I don't know how acquainted you are, but here's an introduction. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And here goes a bunch of helps. If you're afraid, if you're there's resolutions, honor to parents, humility, and here's well-beloved hymns. Doxology, Just As I Am, Rock of Ages. Imagine being out in the country, having been a lost soul once churched, and find these songs. They do something for you. Onward, Christian soldiers, the Lord's Prayer, New Testament, and a good index. And back here is a place to say what you've done. I'm probably talking to people that know all of this, but it says, God loves you, for God so loved the world, and all are sinners, for all have sinned. God's remedy for sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. All may be saved now. My decision to receive Christ as my Savior, and it says, confessing to God that I am a sinner, and believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross and was raised for my justification, I do now receive and confess him as my personal Savior. Place to sign and date it. You and I know what that signing and dating does, but to some people, it's a great thing. They've signed a contract. They've made an agreement without you being there. It's real. Then they have in assurance, seeking a church, assurance as a believer that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead, you will be saved. Not you may, if you work things out right, you will. The women have a personal worker's testament that looks like this. Women's auxiliary. Sometimes we don't say enough about them. Of course, that's the popular thing in government today anyhow, but I think we the Gideons are ahead a little bit. And that we do recognize our auxiliary. They used to have a motto, and I don't know what they're doing about it now, because I sure got jerked up for it a couple of times in some modern churches. The women on their knees to keep the men on their feet. Oh, I had one pastor of a kind of a different church really get after me about that, a chauvinist and so on. But the women had the motto, not us. Their motto was, we the women, on our knees, and they do pray, and they do distribute. We distribute these Bibles to the hotel, motel, but they distribute them in a doctor's office in those places, and whatever hospitals' offices, and so on. Hospitals are getting a little harder to take care of because they're afraid they're going to have to take the Quran or something else if they take this. I don't know if that's a just argument, but it works. And we could argue about that, but we have absolutely no reason to argue because our growth is phenomenal and we don't have money enough to fight for a place to put a Bible. We just put a Bible somewhere else. And the Bibles go. As fast as we can come up with Bibles, they're placed. And again, they're working. They're working. It's fun for me to go through past a waiting room and glance in and see somebody reading the Bible. Just recently, I was down at Johnson Motors. I didn't know there was a Bible in there, but somebody was reading it. It's amazing to see what you can get involved in somebody reading a Bible. It's amazing to see what questions they have. It's amazing to see what people have been waiting for years to accept Christ, don't have the slightest notion what to do. Just don't know. I think about a man in our town, and he was dying, and he knew he was dying. A young man, three children. And I asked him to one day go for a ride with me. I was going out to collect some money north of Wilson. And I said, Bill, how's it going? I understand things are getting pretty slim. He said, yeah. I said, are you prepared? Well, he said, I talked to the pastor, and he said, stay close to God. But the truth is, I don't know how to stay close to God. So we drove on up the road, and I got my money, and where these trees hang over the road up here, we stopped. And it was a hot, sunny day. We prayed. There, that's it. 2 weeks later, I sang at his funeral. But people are told, do this, do this, do this, as we tell you to. Have your first communion, and you got it. You got it. It's made. You've done it all. And you and I know That's not it. It's not that way. It's not that way. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it'll accomplish that which I please, and it'll prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God sent his word to do a job. I'm making a point. Give him the word. Let God do the rest. I just got straightened out right over here a few minutes ago. We were talking about souls being saved, and I made the statement that I don't know if I read or heard it on television, only 94% of the people call themselves Christians have ever won a soul to Christ. And I got straightened out this way, you know. I planted, Apollos watered, and God giveth the increase. But let's keep the water can handy, huh? Let's be doing our part. Let's be impressing people with the Word of God, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. We want people to recognize the Bible and the job that it'll do without you. Drop a word here and there. Speak a word. Use a verse. And I'm not talking to the people that were going to get saved. I'm talking to the people that are saved. And we need to work together that men and women might find a new relationship with Christ. They've read the doctrinal books. They've been to school. And that might even seem to be all they need. But they need Christ in their heart. And you know it, and I know it. I have to knock off here somewhere. There are 7 spiritual objectives that are supposed to govern a Gideon's life. And those 7 spiritual objectives might be just a little hard to come up with. But if we're going to live for God, this is the way we're going to do it. The 7 spiritual objectives. Men and women of the book. Men and women of the book. Men and women of prayer. Men and women of faith, as we've already talked about. Of a separated walk. Men and women of a compassionate heart. Men and women who witness. And above all, men and women who give. God wants us to give. And as we give, God gives to us. Now let me say before you go, if you have some organization that you're sponsoring, that you're living with, that you're keeping up, just don't let me bother you. You go on and do what you feel is right. Come by. It's going to be 2 of us standing back there. We have another Gideon right there. By, you know what? There's 2 Gideons right there. Father-in-law and son-in-law. Some of us are related to Gideons and whatnot. But anyway, there'll be 2 of us back there with open Bibles, and you can lay your offering on the open Bible and shake hands with us. But remember, we are not pressuring for money. I may sound like it, but I'm not pressuring for money. And there are a lot of organizations that do a pretty good work, but none this good, of course. Our accomplishments, and I'll finish up just the tail end of the accomplishments because I'm nowhere done. The Gideons, a couple of guys got together at Bosco Bell, Wisconsin. They didn't have a room, so they took a room upstairs, the 2 of them together. And the one didn't have a Bible and the other did. And they were going to go to bed, one bed, but that's the only way the traveling salesman could sleep at that time. That's what they had. And the one guy said, could we leave the light on for just a few minutes? I promised my mother that I would always read and pray before I went to bed. So he got his Bible out, and the guy said, well, I'm a Christian. Sure, I'd like to do that. That sounds good. Well, they did their praying and got into bed and then talked half the night about what an organization there should be to furnish Bibles in these hotels, motels, and they didn't have anything else in mind. We furnish a lot of places, but that's the 2 places they talk about. And they started the following year an organization, and they called it the Gideons. They went along for 15 years and had placed 1 million Bibles. 1 million Bibles in 15 years sounds like quite a lot. But I'm going to skip a bunch of statistics because that clock isn't skipping nothing. When Reagan came in as president, and some presidents, you know, won't even take a Bible. But when Reagan came in, he was given a Bible and a little four-minute conversation where he said how he appreciated that Bible and so on. He had the 300 millionth Bible placed by the Gideons. George W. Bush, the first year that he was in, received the Bible, 1 billionth Bible. That has climbed. That year, we had $59 million in our turnover, the money that we took in. We handled $59 million. This year, if it stays, our year starts in May. This year, if it stays as it's going, we'll be at $64 million in the Gideons this year. Numbers are way up. And I just don't want to go into detail because that just holds you up and nobody likes that. Here's something. We have a rack in the back and we have these cards. They are absolutely free. Absolutely free. If you want to send a gift card, if you want to send a thank you, congratulations or something, look there because I said I'm not going to take more time. That's the part that shouldn't be skipped over because it's bringing in quite a little money now. We do all the mailing. We make the replies from the one who got the Bible to the one that sent the Bible, etc. We do all the mailing. Take care of all the correspondence. All you have to do is fill out a card and let it be known what you want. And if you never wrote a check, you'd get by fine, but I don't think I'd try it. God honors, God respects, God helps the faithful giver. Whether it's your tithes or something else you owe, paying your bills is the job you must do. God bless. We're going to sing a song. Wonderful words of life.
Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Wonderful words, wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Words Savior, Savior, forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Welcome home. Thanks. Dismiss in prayer, will you?
We know that God's word is truth, right? We live in a world where people think truth is relative, but we know that truth is relative in our hearts. It's not relative to our situations and what we're going through, but actually it pierces to the innermost part and changes us. So hopefully you have been changed and challenged to give, to share that truth today. Let's dismiss. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, that it is truth, that we know that when times of question, we can go and we can search and ask you, and you will reveal to us what we should do and how we should live and where we should be. We just ask, God, today that you would help us to give, to further your kingdom, God, that your truth would go forth. And just be with us this week, in Jesus' name. Amen.